You're such a powerful, but such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Our church, I don't know about how you feel, but boy, I sure feel like this year has just flown by. It's just like we're already looking at 2019. And you're thinking, I'm thinking, where in the world did all of 2018 go? But things go by so, so very quickly. And I look back over my life, and I know I'm not as old as I'm going to get, hopefully. I'm a lot older than most of you, but some of you still have me by a few years. But at least you're willing to admit that, Sister Mary. But reading from James chapter 1, now I'm going to read from the Amplified, so some of you that are King James, I just like the way the Amplified reads here. It says, "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials." It's kind of a hard little section of scripture to take and swallow there. Consider it wholly joyful. Got to throw in an adjective there, a describing word of joyful, wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. This evening we're going to start a series, and it'll run for a few services here, probably through next weekend, or actually I think we have Brother Jonathan Mackey coming next weekend, so we'll run it out. It'll be around for a few more weeks, so I want to talk about just growing our way through. And growing our way through is kind of what we're talking about. But tonight, we're going to talk about optimal anxiety. How many of you have ever heard that optimal anxiety in a church service message? But it's something I feel that is something that we need. And you'll find out as we grow through this. So growing our way through requires optimal anxiety. As I said, this year has gone by so very fast, and I'm looking at 2019. I think it's around 50 days or so before we're into 2019, and I believe, and we have talked about this, that there is a shift going on in the Spirit, not just here at Calvary Gospel Church, but there's a shift going on in the Spirit across our section, across our state, and across our country, and across our world. God is positioning His church. This is something we have to understand. This is a God thing. He's positioning His church for a revival that is unprecedented to humanity. I believe that, and I'm going to be a part of that. I don't know how you feel and what your thoughts are, but I'm going to be a part of that. So as we continue into the early months of 2019, we're growing, we're changing, and God is moving. So this series, that's going to take us from our current level of comfort. Now understand, God works in levels. God works in dimensions. Now, I don't understand every level and every dimension, but I do know that whatever dimension or level that we are in or entering into, it's a stretch for us right now. But within a few months, 6 months goes by, and that stretch, what is difficult for us to reach to, can become the norm. That's why I've said before, we can have 300, 400 people get the Holy Ghost in a year and be in a rut. Because that's just becomes the norm. And God is desiring to pull us as individuals and as a church into a level that I would call optimal anxiety. So in this series, we're going to take us from our current level of comfort, And yes, we can become comfortable, but I feel that God is challenging us into a new level of faith and a new level of unity. So we're going to touch a little bit on our comfort tonight, okay? On unity, we're going to talk about unity and what God has shown me when it comes to one mind and one accord. I'm not talking about a new doctrine here. I'm just talking about a little different perspective from a different point, looking at it from a different point of view. And we're going to introduce, as we have a new word into our spiritual vocabulary, and that is optimal anxiety. Then we're going to take what we've heard and what we've read, and we're going to begin to make our faith grow even stronger than it has ever grown before or that it has ever been before. We are constantly in a process with God. When God saves us at salvation, salvation is a process. But that's the beginning of the process. And if we're growing in God, if we're increasing our knowledge in God, then everything that God puts us through is all part of our process that he is having. And my process is different than your process. How God brings you to repentance is different than how he deals with me in repentance. And our Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit. It's the same power. It's the same authority. But how we receive it and how we exhale it, if I can put it that way, is different for every last one of us. We all have a different experience. Some run, some jump, some shout, some roll around on the floor, and some they can't contain themselves, and others just quietly in a corner begin to speak with tongues, and the Spirit of God just begins to flow through them in such a powerful way. In case you haven't figured this out, God deals with humanity a lot based upon the personality of that humanity. So when we look at this, it was just not too long ago that I was talking to a minister friend, and we were talking about dreams, and we're talking about visions for our lives as well as for the church. And how when we were younger, we had such big dreams. You might can think back tonight when you were younger, perhaps when you were in grade school, you were going to be a fireman. But by the time you got to junior high, you were going to be a paramedic. And by the time you got to high school, you were going to be a doctor. Because your dreams had changed. And we talked about dreams and visions as well as for our lives. When we were younger, we had such big dreams. And we began to realize as life began to play itself out that every dream, every vision, every want, every desire that we had didn't always come to pass the way we had envisioned it. Playing marbles at Irving J. Perch Elementary School in Onalaska, Wisconsin. A much different life has developed out of my life than that particular day sharing my dreams with then my best friend, Kevin Duvall. So as life settles in, as we grow older, we realize that time is changing, and we realize that all of the times that we've wasted and all the times that perhaps that we've left our dream or we've placed our dream upon a shelf because life happens as life happens. We get married, we grow older, we have children, and life becomes more complex, but yet in its complexity of all of the various factors that are going on within our lives, life becomes very much routine. Up at 7 to bed at 7, and all of this kind of stuff. You have lunch at this time, you have dinner at this time, breakfast is at this time, and on Saturday mornings, you have a routine that you go through. So your life becomes more complex, but becomes more settled in and more mundane as it becomes sometimes even more complex. So we settle in. We just settle into life. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing, okay? Because I think that our children, our lives need some structure. Did you hear me? Our lives need some structure. Our children need structure in their lives. We need structure. Our bodies, to maintain a healthy body, it's not very good for you to eat at midnight a whole pizza and then crawl into bed and go to sleep. That's not good for your body. You can't power drink Mountain Dew, Pepsi, and eat jalapeno pizza and go to bed and then wonder why at 2 o'clock in the morning you're awake, can't sleep, and your guts feel like they're burning a hole in the bed. Anybody ever done that? Recently, as in like myself, like last night, and wonder why. I can't eat at Taco Bell anymore, Bishop, at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and drink a big, large Pepsi and then drive home and wonder why it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep. I know why I can't sleep, because my body's telling me you need something that's a little bit more routine and a little more comfortable for me. All right? So we develop comfort zones. And I spoke of the challenges before, and I was speaking to this minister friend of mine as we sat on our back patio area, and we spoke of the challenges that Lois, my wife, and I undertook when we started our business some years ago. It was so very challenging at the beginning. All of the various aspects of business, and you have to put everything together, and all of the stress. And man, I was so stressed out, and I went for days and days. I couldn't eat because I was so nervous. I didn't have any work and all of this stuff, and I'm trying to think, God, what are you doing? You brought me here. This is something I feel that this is of you, and this is what you want me to do. Then why am I having such high levels of optimal anxiety going on in my life right now? You see, what God was trying to do, and that's the same thing he tries to do to a lot of us, is he uses life, go figure. He uses life, and in that life, he will put us at times under stress so that we learn to trust in him. And we wonder sometimes, why, God, why do I feel this way? Well, maybe God is trying to move you and move me. So what was so challenging at the beginning, later as the years wore on in business, it became somewhat monotonous. It just was the same thing every day. At first, it was new and it was exciting because it was a whole different world that I was used to than what I was used to, and I was reaching out and I was all excited and such. But I also understood that as I looked around and saw some of the cool things that my friends were doing, and I was strapped into making sure that I got to a particular place at 5:30 because they just had to have their garbage disposal working before the weekend. And as other people began to go out for dinner on Friday nights, I was driving across town to fix somebody's stinky old nasty garbage disposal. And here I am stuck in this zone. It was frustrating, but it was comfortable. Do you understand? Anybody here relating to this tonight? Is this hitting? All right. So here, a few years later, the challenge was gone, and it was just work as usual. I remember on a hot summer afternoon, it was around dinner time in the neighborhood that I was working in. I was there all by myself, had to get this job done. You know how it is. It's just always an emergency. Have to get this done. Have to get this done. So I'm there in the neighborhood. I could smell the grills cooking all around me. I could hear the kids out in the park playing soccer, and I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing here? You hate what you do. I remember a few years earlier, this was a tremendous blessing that God was giving me, and it was, and I thanked him. It afforded me to do a lot of things that I would never have been able to do, but yet that optimal anxiety had gone past. It was no longer a challenge, and it was mundane. And here I am sitting here, and I could smell the grills going. I was working. I was tired of always working. I sat down in a bathtub. It was one that was a new construction. So I sat down in a bathtub, and I remember breaking down and weeping and saying, God, is this all there is to the rest of my life? It's just plumbing in people's homes. Now, as I said, as I sat there that day, I was thankful for the blessings, but I was tired of the same old, and I was looking for a change. What we have to understand, as I said earlier, that comfort zones aren't always bad. And we all have them. And to a degree, parts of our lives, we need them. You see, I look at a comfort zone. A comfort zone is any situation where your activities and your behaviors fit a routine pattern that minimizes the stress and risk that we face every day in our lives. In other words, it's our safe place, or the thing that you do that you know you're good at, and you don't have to try hard to do it. Now, there are some things that I'm just good at naturally. I'm good at taste testing steaks. All right? I love grilling. I love it. I will be so sorely disappointed if we get to heaven and I don't have my own golden grill out back of my mansion that I can just take and grill a golden calf or something on it. I don't know what we're going to have, but I know there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he's creating us this massive, incredible banquet, but I'd like to show off a little bit of barbecue up there. You know, I love doing things like that because it's comfortable for me. Now, other people panic. I can throw 6 turkeys in the smoker, throw 2 in the deep fryer, and have some ribs going in another smoker and some hot links and all this stuff and sit down and just relax and enjoy some iced tea. And other people panic. They don't know how to cook a turkey. It's just easy for me. It's a very comfortable for me. That's my comfort zone. But you know, there's other things I'm not good at. Get me over here, and you got more above optimal anxiety going on over here. You ask me to sing, I'll empty the place out. I promise you. You see, my anxiety levels go way up. I was nervous tonight because I knew Brother and Sister Caskey were going to be here. And Brother Caskey is such an incredible speaker and knowledgeable in the Word. And I'm like, my anxiety levels was a little bit higher. So thank you, Brother Caskey. We'll take you out for dinner afterwards, and we'll enjoy and relax. But right now, I'm sweating a little bit. Okay? So it's our safe place. The things that you know you're good at, you don't have to try hard at. And for me, that was plumbing. It was easy. It wasn't always easy, but it became easy. And then it got so easy. And a lot of you, I think, you know exactly. I was looking in my life after I gave up plumbing and became, submitted my life to God and said, Lord, okay, I'll work for the church. If that's what you want, I'll work for the church, but I don't want to preach. And it was a whole process because I was trying to overcome this anxiety that I had. I got really nervous the first time I got up here to preach. It wasn't very good. And for a long time, I was not preaching in here, and I think my dad was just being kind to me. He came to me one time, and he really asked me this. He said, son, I'm a little bit concerned. He said, you feel that God's calling you to preach, but every time I ask you to preach, you turn me down. Nobody else does that. I'm just nervous. How would you like for him to be staring at you in the back every time you get up here? Come try it once. So looking to fulfill the dreams of the past, I quickly realized that plumbing was something that was much different than pastoring. Plumbing was my comfort zone. Pastoring, that was maximum anxiety. Okay? So I understood almost immediately that this new direction in my life was going to take me out of what I was most comfortable and where I was most comfortable. So we have, at one time or another, as individuals, we have experienced this in our own lives. We've stepped out of the familiar into the unknown. We've stepped out of the common. We've stepped out of the comfort zone into a space that's outside of our comfort zone that we're calling tonight our optimal anxiety. It's where our stress levels are slightly higher than normal, but not high enough to negatively affect our lives and how we live our lives. It's a place where that we're challenged. It's a good place. It's a place where it's often designed by God Himself. It's a perfect mixture of stress and purpose, because God has called us to get things done. And getting things done for His kingdom is always going to have some stress in it. We don't like to have pressure placed upon us, but that's exactly where God puts us to optimize our potential. And we hate that when He places us into this optimal anxiety zone. We can read in John chapter 21 where the Jesus' disciples were out in their optimal anxiety zone, if you wish to call it that. They went out fishing. Now that was their comfort zone. And they fished all night long. It was probably no different than countless nights after night after night after night. And the nights flowed to weeks and the weeks to months. And they probably, up to this time, had spent years fishing all night long, doing the exact same thing that they've always done to catch fish. It's what they were comfortable. If you're a fisherman here tonight, and you go out fishing, the first place you always go is where you know you're going to catch fish. That's why you go there. You have that little honey hole, that little sweet spot, and you don't want anybody else to know about it. The only problem is when you're not there, there's 45 other boats that are there. But needless to say, the disciples, they were out there doing the same thing that they always did, but they didn't catch any fish. You see, they were there because they caught fish there before. They knew the area. They knew the waters. They knew the bottom of the sea. They knew what it was like 10 foot down, 12 foot down. They knew all of that. Then a man comes along who they later recognized as Jesus, and He shouted out to them from the shore, "Hey, guys, have you had any good luck tonight? You catch anything?" And they yell back, "No, it's been a long, boring night." But we're comfortable with that because we've been here before. And then the man told them, "Why don't you try this? Why don't you pick up your nets from this side of the boat and throw them over to that side of the boat?" I would have just thought, why don't we just turn the boat around? But they sat there and they had enough faith in what they at the time thought was a complete stranger that they looked at each other and said, "What do we got to lose?" So they pull their empty nets in, throw them on the other side of the boat, and what happened? Their nets were so full of fish that they couldn't hardly get them back into the boat. I love that the disciples, at this point, I think Jesus is pointing something out for us to see today. I love that His disciples were stuck in a rut, and they themselves couldn't identify just exactly what that rut was. Because sometimes in our lives, we can get caught up in a rut, in a zone of comfort, and it takes someone else to push us out of that zone. Often it's our friends and our families trying to tell this to us by hinting that maybe, just maybe, perhaps you should try something different. "I've been watching you struggle with this all day long. You're frustrating me in your struggles. Why don't you try something different?" And I think God is trying to tell many of us here tonight, you're frustrating me by trying the same old things over and over and over again. Why don't you try something different. So perhaps tonight your pastor is speaking to you right now that you need to get yourself out of this rut and push yourself into this zone and allow God, yes, allow God to put some pressure on you. Because we've got to understand, church, this is how we grow. This is how we grow. And if you're hearing this, have you thought of trying this? Maybe it's time to step back, look at your life, look at your frustration, look at your aggravation, and say, it's time for me to try something different. You see, other times we know that we're in a comfort zone. How do we know? Because we feel bored. How many of you have ever just felt bored in ministry? Be honest, come on. How many of you have ever felt bored in ministry? You know what? I was bored with plumbing. I needed a new challenge, and I needed to fulfill the will of God for my life. Perhaps tonight you're a leader of a Bible study, and you've been doing it so long that you don't even have to worry about preparing anymore. You've got to the point that you've aced exploring God's Word, you've aced search for truth, you've aced Bible study in a bag, which is pretty easy to ace. You've aced all the Bible studies. And when you sit down with those 6, 8, 10, 12 people sitting around that table that are eagerly awaiting something from God, your mind's out. If I get done here and nobody asks questions within the next hour, I can get my lawn mowed before it's time to shut down for the day. You see, we can be in ministry so long that we no longer worry about preparing properly because we pretty much know it all. You see, I would say that you are somebody that needs to get booted out of your comfort zone and into a little bit of optimal anxiety. You see, God is pushing us, church. He's pushing us. And the churches that are going to see revival and the churches that are going to experience revival are churches full of individuals that's going to allow God to push them into an area that they are so uncomfortable with, and it raises their anxiety level so high that we have to trust in God in order to make it through. Because God's tired of Christians that are just simply just putzing through life. You see, God is wanting us to enter into a zone where, yes, it forces us to become frustrated because we're struggling again. We're not struggling with salvation. That shouldn't be something. We're talking about growing in God. We're talking about growing our way through some of the things that we're going to have to grow our way through if we're going to experience what God desires for us to experience. It's not going to happen any other way. You cannot become a doctor or a nurse or someone in the medical field if you don't grow your way through high school biology, all of the various classes that it takes, then it's college and it's prep, then it's on to med school. You grow your way through and you learn because you force yourself to deal with anxiety and stress and all of these things that enter into your lives. That's how we grow. That's how we learn things. We stretch our brain. And a lot of times we don't want to stretch our brain. We're going to go read out of the scripture. We're going to go read. Listen, nobody likes to read the book of Numbers. It's a rough read. Stress yourself. Read it. Try to memorize it once. That's even worse. But you see, we need some optimal anxiety. So here tonight, maybe you're sitting here tonight, you've discovered that you need to step and to begin to fulfill that role and that calling and that purpose that God has designed and destined for you to fill. But you cannot fill it without stepping out from where you are and stepping into a faith zone. And we have to trust God. This is something that God has just really hammered on me lately. And you know why? Because I really found out after really this series we went through, really spending time talking with God and having just sharing with God some of my frustrations, I found out that, you know what? I don't always trust God like I should trust God. You know why? Because we get comfortable doing things ourselves. We've talked about some of this last week. As Jesus stood on the shore that night and he cried out to his disciples, what did they do? What did they do? And what can we learn from them? Well, not really knowing that it was Jesus at the time, they did one thing. They took advice from people around them that could see the bigger picture. And sometimes in our own lives, we don't want to take advice from those that are around us. I started to think about starting a business. You know what? I knew I was starting a plumbing business. So I started talking to people who had businesses in construction. Didn't do me any good to go talk with somebody that was selling Amway. Okay? Didn't do me any good to go talk with somebody that ran a flower shop. I wanted to talk to somebody that it was related to what I was doing. So if you want to take and you want God's calling you in a particular area of ministry, talk to someone in that area of ministry. You see, the key word here, though, they understood. I started to talk to people that I knew. I knew these people. I knew them well. And they also understood where I was desiring to go. So when God was leading me into a direction of ministry, I did the same exact thing. I started to ask people who knew about where I felt God was drawing me to, and I sought after people who had already been there. But we got to understand something. The world is full of good advice. But there's a vast difference between good advice and godly advice, because godly advice has godly wisdom backing it. Good advice sometimes just has worldly wisdom. A vast difference when we're talking about spiritual things and spiritual applications in our lives. So one cannot seek godly advice from a person who's not godly themselves. So listen, this is a huge thing here. The disciples were prepared to try to do everyday things. The things they did every day. They were prepared from a stranger to try to do everyday things different. Did you get that? It's everyday things. Things that we do every day in our lives. And they were prepared to try to do it different. And Jesus was pushing them into a zone or into an area of their lives that would change them forever. Understand, just because they always threw the net on one side of the boat didn't stop them from trying the other side. Think about this. What's the logic behind that? Yet Jesus knew that he was seeking to get something new. He was setting them up for a future encounter. He was setting them up for a future life, a future, a different ministry. They weren't always going to be fishermen. Someday they still would stay fishermen, but fishermen of a much different type. They weren't going to actually fish after fish. They were going to fish after men. And Jesus is trying to tell them, you just can't go to the same pool every time and catch fish. I want you to catch fish in Jerusalem. I want you to catch fish in Samaria. That means the other end of the boat. I want you to catch fish in Judea. I want you to catch them all over the world. So when you sit in your boat, you got to be prepared to cast that net out anywhere and everywhere. And that's what he was trying to instill in them, that listen, it may be one way in your boat. I'm going to tell you to do it another way because it's going to have a future application later on in your life. Isn't it amazing how Jesus took so many things that were of the physical and made them or turned them into something that was spiritual. And God does the very exact same things in our lives. You know, some people don't like the change. They struggle with it. And you know what? One way that you can learn how to change in the physical that can help you in the spiritual, just sit in a different seat when you come to church. You don't like change? Start sitting in a different seat. I challenge you on that. I challenge you next Wednesday night when we come in here, everybody, I challenge you, everybody here sit in a different seat. You're going to find out that you don't think you can worship the same way. You know what God's trying to do by doing that? And you know something else that's simple? Go to a different restaurant than you normally go to. Or if you always go to the same restaurant, order something you've never ordered before. You want to find out if you're in a rut and your life is in a rut? Yeah, just watch yourself. Where you sit, what you eat. You're not willing to try anything new. I was talking with Pastor Phil Demas not too long ago, and he was eating, I think it was shrimp. And I'm like, I don't think you thought you eat shrimp or ate shrimp. He's like, yeah, I'm challenging myself. Trying to eat something different, something new, something I've never had before. And liver crossed my mind, and I thought, no, Lord, don't make me go there. But you see, these are little things that sound so simple. But yet if we do it and we apply it, we begin to take things where that God in the physical can start to make changes in our life in the spiritual. So God will use the physical to teach us the spiritual. So next Wednesday night, feel free to sit in a different spot. For some of us, that's like jumping into right now. It's like optimal, maximum anxiety. I can feel the tension coming right now. I can feel it. Can you feel that, brother? It's coming in waves. Just tension. Whoa. Are you serious? I got to change my seats? Making small changes and learning to adjust, whether or not you like the outcomes, will help us to learn to cope when we decide to make a bigger move outside of our present zone that we're in right now. I also want you to understand something, that don't confuse stepping out of our comfort zone with just being reckless and stupid. Did you know that? People say, oh man, he's got reckless faith. Reckless faith says you can take and beat the train. That's not reckless faith. That's just stupidity, okay? So I'm just telling you, the disciples threw their net over the side of the boat. They didn't all grab the net and dive in. They just did what they always did differently. They did it differently. So for me being responsible and moving out of my comfort zone and coming to work here at Calvary Gospel Church, it meant that I was going to have to take and step out, but I just didn't want to step out recklessly or stupid. My wife and I had to sit down, and we had to determine, and I said, you know what? You've been wanting to retire a little bit earlier. That means that's not going to happen. You're going to have to work longer. We need the benefits and all of this. So it meant that she was going to have to stay at her job until retirement age, because I didn't quite make as much money here as I made in plumbing. Okay? And I didn't expect to. But just understand, it was a sacrifice that we both had to make. But you see, God knew where we were going. And when we got to the next season in our life, we had to step out into that what was once optical anxiety had now become comfortable. You follow what I'm saying? We go through these steps in God. So God knew where we were going. And he knew that at some point in time that I would be where I am right now. And God began to work in us. And even in ministry here, in Sunday school, and all of the other areas of ministry, you can do it so long that you can, it becomes just routine for you. It's no longer a challenge, and God is trying to challenge us tonight, church. And I knew that the next level that I was going to have to step into was going to be a lot more anxiety. And I was struggling to trust in God that He would help and see me through. So my next point, I'm not going to go get through all of these tonight, but my next point is don't let fear and responsibility. This is a huge one, church. This is a huge one. This is like really big for a lot of us because we let fear and responsibility hold us back from stepping out from our comfort zone and finding that place in God where we can feel fulfilled and satisfied. And I struggled with this because, you see, I grew up in a pastor's home. And I knew the stress and the pressures that it was placed upon my father, upon my mother. And I'm just being honest with you. I love everyone here, but I did not want to be your pastor. I didn't want to be responsible. I just didn't. And I struggled with it. Now, so you don't feel bad for me or feel bad against me, I don't want anyone here to think, well, he didn't even want to be our pastor. Put yourself in my shoes. Stand up here. Listen, preaching is really the easiest part, or one of the easiest parts of what we do as a pastor. Try standing next to someone who's just lost a loved one and trying to comfort them. It's hard. There just doesn't seem to be the words. Try dealing with children that family issues and things like that, that families are coming under so much attack, marriages, all of this different, all the different things, the finances and all of this. And I'm like, Lord, I just, when I was in plumbing, I was responsible for just my own actions and my own finances, and that was it. Now I got to be responsible for everybody's actions, regardless, good or bad. If the sound's too loud, I know I'm going to hear about it. Because my pastor heard about it. The church is dirty. If the bathrooms are dirty, I know I'm going to hear about it. But you see, I couldn't let fear and responsibility hold me back from where I knew God was calling me to be. Has it been easy? No. Has it been easy? But you know what? I have learned to trust in God. After my wife and I, after we became voted in as pastors, we were afraid because it wasn't just optimal anxiety that was going on at the time in my life. It was like maximum anxiety. But you know what? 4 years later, here we are. It's not just the church that we're responsible for. Responsible for all the work that goes on up at the church camp. All the buildings that are being remodeled and all of those things up there. And we're also the Section 3 presbyter. So in 4 years, my responsibility hasn't gotten less. It's grown substantially. But do I feel any better about it? No, I still feel that, Lord, what am I doing here sometimes? I still feel like, God, why did you call me? But he called me, and I'm here. It can wear you down. You can get tired sometimes of responsibility. But I got to look at it. What happens if I'm not responsible? What happens to your family if you as a father no longer become responsible for the well-being of your family? You see, the cost is just simply too great not to accept the responsibility that God has placed upon us as a church. Now, if our musicians can come, our praise team, if you could stand to your feet. I think of the three Hebrew children. The three Hebrew hyphen-aged young men. That's called PC correctness. That's Pentecostal correctness. three Hebrew-aged young men. They weren't really children. I don't know why we call them children, three Hebrew children. But can you imagine the pressure that they were under that particular day when all of Babylon bowed before the golden statue or the golden image? And there they stood all alone, everyone watching them defy the great king Nebuchadnezzar. But you see, what happened, Brother Seidel, when they were in that full optimal anxiety? They were no doubt had a lot of anxiety flowing through them at that moment in time. But you think about it. When you think about God, and we think about our trust in God, and we're going to continue this next week. But you see, that optimal anxiety that they felt, that pressure that they felt to conform, what did it do in their lives? It took them out of a zone of comfort into anxiety, and it took them into full-blown faith mode. And we preach about, we teach about our children in Sunday school color pictures of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. That's where God desires to take us on a journey, church. He desires to take us from where we are comfortable into a little bit of pressure, a little bit of godly anxiety placed upon us as it pushes us into something that we're not comfortable with. And as we begin to learn to trust Him, we learn to develop a relationship with Him. And the day will come when we will be challenged and we will go into full-blown faith mode. How many of you are willing to make that journey tonight? Maybe you haven't even started your walk with God. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God here tonight. The same thing applies for you. You're in a zone of comfort. You're comfortable at where you are, but you're feeling something right now inside of you telling you that you need to do something different. You're never going to make it where your dreams and your goals in your life are unless you change from where you are into something different. So you're fighting this battle right now. And you're trying to argue in your mind that I'm not ready to do this. I want to challenge you tonight. Just step in. Step in. Is it going to be easy? Nope. God never promised that it would be easy. But as we develop a relationship, we develop trust. We're going to go from comfort. You're going to feel a little anxiety down here as people begin to pray with you at the altar. But that's going to go into full-blown faith mode when you begin to speak with other tongues. You go down in baptism. So, church, I challenge us tonight. Let's go from comfort to optimal anxiety, where we can enter into that place where God challenges us, pushes us, and step into that faith zone. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight?
Call me out upon the world.
Need a healing tonight?
The great unknown.
Step out. I don't care if you've been prayed for before. For the same thing. Step out.
There I find you in.
You need salvation tonight? Need a miracle? Need a miracle in your life? Our altar team, our ministers, elders can come.